Now, the verse number 30 is probably one of the most important verses in the Bhagavad Gita, and a whole textbook of psychology can be written on this verse. It's the most beautiful verse, how we should work in the world. It's very, very powerful. In four lines, how Bhagavan has given the entire essence of karma is very beautifully explained. So we'll spend some time talking about that verse. Verse number 30. Mai sarvani karmani. Sanyasyadhyatma chetasa. Nirashir nirmamo bhutva. Yudhyasvavigatajvaraha. So, mai sarvani karmani. In me, Bhagavan says, in me. When Sri Krishna uses the word me or I, he is not talking about the son of Devaki or the charioteer of Arjuna, but he is talking about I, the consciousness, the Brahman, the totality, because Krishna was a manifestation of that total. Actually, we all are a manifestation of that, but the difference is Krishna knew it and we don't know it. That is the difference. So Krishna was an expression of that total divinity. So when he says I, it means I, that Atma, the consciousness, the total Brahman, the total manifestation. So this is the kind of the first time where he has revealed that I am actually not only your driver or your friend Arjuna, but I am that supreme reality. So he says, in me, sarvani karmani, all activities sanyasya. Sanyasya means renounce. So the moment we hear the word renounce, give up all actions. No, he's not saying give up all actions, but in me, give up the idea of doership, that I am the doer. Give up the ego, and the Lord is the doer. So that is called renouncing all actions in me. And adhyatma chetasa, and the mind centered in the self. We'll talk about that. What do they mean by mind centered in the self, or the mind centered in atma, the om? And then how should I work? Nirashi. Nirashi means without hope. You say, work like a hopeless person? Yes, without hope. And nirmama. Nirmama means no, there is nothing mine. So no hope and no eye or mind, bhutva, becoming without hope, without eye or mind, yudhyasva, fight, vigat jvaraha, without fever. Now the word fight gets people very upset because they say your scriptures are teaching to fight, and that's what Krishna was telling Arjuna to fight, and all your gods, you know, they have weapons. Lord Shiva has a weapon, Mother Durga has weapons, Vishnu Bhagavan has weapons. But what here he is telling him to fight is that Arjuna's duty at that moment was to fight, because he was fighting on the side of Dharma, on the side of righteousness. So at that moment his duty is to fight. And that's why he tells him to fight. Not that all the time he should fight. In fact, Bhagavan Krishna tried to make peace, but when it was not possible as a last resort, they didn't have any choice. And even in life, how we should take that in life circumstances may come that give us problems, but we should fight. We should be able to withstand all of life's joys and sorrows and all the blows of life and all the currents and whirlpools and all the problems of life. I should be able to fight without getting destroyed or submerged. Otherwise people say, oh, my life is so sad, I can't do anything. No, you are Atma, you are the consciousness. Bhagavan is in you, Lord is in you. Why should you just give up? So fight. And also, if we look even in sports, we say that he does not have the killer instinct. What we find, somebody is leading in tennis or leading in ping pong or a cricket team is leading and doing very well, and what happens? They relax. We are leading. We are definitely going to win. And at that moment, you give an opportunity to your opponent to come back and ultimately defeat you. So what they are saying is that when you are playing the game, you play with the idea to win. And then at the end, whatever result comes, you accept cheerfully. You do your best. But in life, I have to do my best. I have to fight with problems, with adversity. That is why he says, Yudhyasva, fight, Vigata Jwaraha. So let us see, we talked about fight. Now, when he says me, as we said, he is identifying himself with Ishvara, the creator of the universe, the Lord of the universe. Talking about creator of the universe, this little girl who was 7 or 8 goes and asks her grandma. He says, Grandma, who created us? So she says, God created us. We are creation of God. Okay, she's fine with that. Next day she meets her grandpa and she says, Grandpa, who created us? Now, grandpa believed in the Darwin's theory of evolution. She says, Grandpa, who created us? He says, we evolved from monkeys. You know, we descended from monkeys, not evolved. We descended from monkeys. Monkeys are our ancestors and we descended from monkeys. So she says, she's a little confused. So next day she asks grandma, she says, Grandma, you said God created us. And grandpa says, we descended from monkeys. So she says, he's talking about his side of the family. So Lord is the creator of this universe. But if I'm not at that level where I say God is working through me, I am a humble instrument, and I'm still not at that level of evolution where I and my is completely gone. Mai sarvani karmani sanyasi. I cannot do that. And I'm still in karma, then say, Lord is karma phala data. Like in Upadeshari says, the first verse, kartur agnaya prapyate phalam. So he says, all results come from the giver, karma phala data, the one who gives us the results of our actions. So the Lord is the one who has given me the ability to act. He is the one who will give the results. My duty is to work. Now, why does he say without hope, without ego, and without fever? So Gurudev in his commentary very beautifully explains that hope is always of the future. I hope this happens. I hope I get that. If I get it, I'll be happy. If I don't get it, I'll be unhappy. So in that process, we are not doing a good job in the present. Well, I don't know if I will do or not, and we lose our present. And what is ego? Ego is the past. You don't know who I am. You don't know how much I have done. Tu janta nahi mujhe. You know, so we start with that. I am so much. So that is all the past. I have accomplished this. I have reached this. I have done that. So hope is living in the future. Ego is living in the past. And we are either regretting the past. Oh, I shouldn't have done it. It was such a wrong thing to do. Or we are worried about the future. If this doesn't happen, what will happen? If I don't pass, if I don't get this job, if the stock market go, all the time we are worried about the future. And the third is the fever. Fever is anxiety in the present. Because we are not focused in the present, our actions are disturbed. We are feverishly working, agitatedly working. And the example they give is that when you work in the present without worrying about the past, without regrets of the past, without anxieties for the future, you conserve your energy. Because we lose our energy either in anxiety or in regrets or in disturbance. So when you conserve your energy, then you can use it to the best of your ability. Like a company knows what is our strong point. So they focus on that, and what they don't are not good at, they outsource. They say, let it get done in India or get it done in the Philippines. So similarly, I should know what is my duty, what am I good at, and do that to the best and plan. See, when people say do not worry about the future, does not mean that I should not plan. Say tomorrow I have 2 weeks from now, I have a party, I have invited 100 people. Am I not going to plan? Yes. At that moment, you plan, okay, tomorrow I will email the invitations, then I will get the RSVPs, then I will contact the caterer, I will rent the tables and chairs, who will set up, who will take down, who will help, what kind of menu. So you all those you plan, but at that moment you are planning, but once the planning is done, then you leave it, and while the party is going on, you enjoy that if you have planned properly. But if you have not, then you will be disturbed. And Ramakrishna Paramhans told us that the biggest fever is ego. The more ego you have, such a person becomes a problem because he becomes selfish. There is a beautiful story of Gajanan Maharaj. I must tell you, even maybe I may not be able to finish the third verse, but it's the most beautiful story. Gajanan Maharaj was a very famous saint who lived in Maharashtra. Not too many people know about him, but he's well known in Maharashtra. He lived in the late 19th century, from 1850 to about 1910. And there's a long story about how he appeared and all that. Nobody knew who his parents were. But one time, this saint, he was going with a friend. And his friend was a very mischievous kind of guy, very, did a lot of funny things. So they were sitting under a tree, and Gajanan Maharaj was just enjoying nature, his eyes closed, enjoying that. It was under the shade. And this guy was mischievous, and he saw a beehive. So he went and disturbed the bees. And the moment he disturbed, the bees started running, came out of the beehive. Oh, and this guy ran away because he disturbed, and he knew bees are trouble. Now, Gajanan Maharaj was sitting under the tree with his eyes closed, and the bees attacked him. There were thousands of bees. Every inch of his body was stung. All the stings were in there. And he just remained completely unaffected in his samadhi state. And the bees, after a while, were done stinging. How much can they sting? And so then slowly they flew away. And this friend came back, and he felt so bad. Look at my friend, this saint. What have I done to him? He felt so bad. And he, Gajan Maharaj, wake up. See what has happened to you. Maharaj said, nothing has happened. You did your prakriti. You did your nature. Bees did their nature. I did my nature. What I was supposed to do, I did. I just stayed there. And then he takes a deep breath, pranayam kumbhaka, and then rechak, and he expelled the air, and all those things disappeared. They were thrown out of his body, and his body was completely back to normal. And there was not even a trace of stings. They were all thrown out. And then he does not tell the friend, why did you do this? You should not have done this. It was so wrong. In the future, you don't do it. None of that. Neither criticizing the past nor worried about the future. Let's go. And they just walked up. So that is how these men of wisdom are, that wherever they are, they do what they are supposed to do and do not worry about who is doing what is past, what is future. It was very, very powerful story for me, so I thought I would repeat it. And as parents, it is our duty to not focus on the future. Because we are so worried, if the child doesn't study, then he won't get into a good college, and then he won't do this. And all the time we are pushing the children. Yes, you should inspire them, encourage them to study, and discipline them, but do it with love. But the most important duty of a parent is to live in the present. Enjoy the child while you have him or have her. Because once the child goes to college, then you may see them on the weekend, or you may not even see them till the summer. So live in the present. Enjoy your children. Do your best. And then let God take care. Tera tujhko arpan. God, I have given my child to you. I did my best. It is your child. And when he talks about Adhyatma Chetasa, it is a very, very important concept, where Bhagavan says that the mind should be centered in the self. We'll also talk tomorrow in the meditation class, that when you are sitting in meditation, or even when you are working in the world, keep your mind and atma in the Lord, because God is within every one of us, and I'm speaking because God is in me, you are listening because, so always part of your attention should be centered on God, and keep God in your memory at all times, and then keep reminders, as we said, you can put it on your phone as a, what do they call that, the picture in the front of the phone, I forget the name, but wallpaper, and then have a picture in your car, have a picture on your desk. So remind yourself of the Lord and always dedicate your actions to the Lord. And they say when the mind is single pointed in an object, it obtains the object. And that is so clear. If your mind is single pointed, like if you're single pointed that I have to win the Olympics, only then you will win the Olympics. You cannot say half-heartedly, once a week, 1 hour on Sunday, I will practice. You will never reach. But that's how we do with spirituality. One hour a week, Sunday morning, I go to Gita class. That's it. Baki, Gita close, put it aside till next Sunday. No. It should be read every day. It should be applied in my life. And the mind should be single. If I want to be successful in business, how we are single-pointed, that's how the mind should be single-pointed. So here the Lord has made many points in this one verse. Dedicate all actions to me. Keep your mind always on the self. Keep it on me, the Lord, within you. Do not worry about the future. Do not regret the past. Do not get disturbed in the present by the present situations, but do what you are supposed to do, and in life problems will come. Do not get overcome by them. So how much psychology is there in this one verse? I mean, we can talk for an hour, but I just thought I will give some of the high points, and then each one of us should think how in life we do not perform our best. Either we worry about the future or we worry about the past. Oh, I shouldn't have done it. Actually, there's another story. I'll just say it because the third verse is short. So there was this one person crying before this Mahatma. Oh, you know, things are so bad. I have had so many problems. 10 years ago, I did this. 15 years ago. And again, he's crying about the past. And other people are saying, yeah, you know, we have had the same problems. We are also, you know, many years ago, blah, blah, blah. They were crying. So Mahatma told them a joke. This wise person told them a joke, a very nice joke. So they all laughed. Then the same joke he repeated. Now there were 50 people, only 3 people laughed. And then he told the joke a third time. And nobody in the room laughed. He said, I just told you a joke. Why didn't you laugh? He said, sir, you have already told us this joke before. That's why we are not laughing. So he said, if you are not laughing at the same joke I'm telling repeatedly, why are you crying about the past repeatedly? Same past. You keep on crying 1 year, 2 years, 10 years. If you cannot laugh at the same joke, why are you crying at the same adversity? Just as you heard the joke, it's over. Past is over. You learn from the past. We are not saying that you don't learn. But do not keep crying about the past. Do not keep dwelling, because it does not serve any purpose.